Okay, so what we've done in both the meditation where we circulate the light and in the House of Life meditation is included the side pillars of the Tree of Life. And what that in effect means is that we're bringing in a different dynamic. So we spend a lot of time just establishing the middle pillar in order to establish balance and connection. But the side pillars bring in dynamism and movement and opposites in relationship. And in a certain sense, when we look at the circulation of the light exercises, the exercises get more focused when you include the side pillars, because in particular you see that it's not so much the front and back which energizes all three of the pillars, but the energies of the circulation from left to right work specifically through the spheres of the pillars of mercy and severity. Similarly, the spiral exercise works first by energizing the outer spheres, and then the middle pillar exercises. Fountain exercise embraces them all because it sort of embraces all. So what we're doing, having established in a sense stability and connection through the middle pillar, we're now embracing the two side pillars of the tree and therefore bringing a sense of dynamism into that. And within that, the use of that form then to be able to explore opposites in relationship. So when we went into the house of life, instead of just doing the normal thing that we're used to doing, where we really look at the spiraling up the middle pillar, we've explored all the rooms of the house of life in their core energetic form, in their raw energy form, we could say. Now, within those energy forms, you'd have seen there were this almost like the tracing of archetypal shaping, the image of a star in Chokhmah, the image of the shaping of space and the blackness and the red blackness of Bina, the idea of the flowering chalice in Gedula, the crystal sword in Geburah, the sense of the multi, in the sense of the rose in Netzach, the sense of the living ideas and thoughts in Hod, the sense of the idea, the shaping of ideas and coming to birth of the many images of Yesod, and then that sense of Malchut as the anchor, as the receptacle through which all the kind of energies of the tree descend and come into actuality and come into action. Now, as we explore the House of Life as a method, as a technique, you will, of course, always be tapping into those core energies, but often they will present themselves more in a more shaped way. For example, the form of the kind of the Tiferet room with the table and the mirror will present itself much more as a table and a mirror. But underneath it, you will sense that shining light, the golden light with the white core. The room of Yesod will have its book and its well, but underneath it, this powerful seething, shaping, creating light of manifestation. The basement room will continue to have its horned altar, the sense of the cave-like room with the almond blossom at its top. But also is the place of shining blackness and rainbow lights combined. The rooms that you haven't yet visited will start to present themselves. So the room of Hod, for example, may present itself like a library or like a study. The room of Netzach may be like a garden. the room of Gevura might be like a courtroom, or might be like a philosopher's study. The room of Gedula may be a place of great richness and abundance and beauty. The room of Dart presents itself, however, it presents, but always as the same of fractal iterations, the cube within the cube within the cube within the cube. So that disoriented, turns us in, inside out. The supernal rooms are always experienced strangely, because you're there, you're meeting beyond duality. So you come into the, in Bina, you come into the sense of non-dual love that is the shaping of space, that is a sort of metaphysical gravity. In Chokmah, it is like being at the heart of a star, that generative will that says be, manifesting. And then the simplicity of the stillness of the white light of Keter, that is so simple that it's almost unbearable. So it's sort of a new stage, in a sense, really, of pursuing the work, right? So deepening into working directly. You can still go back to just working with the middle pillar. You can still just trust your own particular unfolding. But it brings in a more powerful dynamic to be able to explore the different aspects of the different pillars, operating at different levels. Because one of the things you can notice, you may not have time to notice, because the meditation is very fresh for you, is that there is a relationship between the room of Bina, between the room of Gebura, and the room of Hod. Similarly, a relationship between the room of Chokmah, between the room of Gedula, the room of Netzach. There's a stepping down of energies. You can look at the cross relationships between the different rooms, which are more balancing, and also you can look at the diagonal relationships, like the relationship between the room of Gedula and the room of Hod, the room of that is like the blossom, the chalice that produces multitudes of things and the multitudes of thoughts, of living thoughts that appear. Similarly, the clear, fiery energy of Gebura and the energy of manifesting desire in Netzach. Underneath, actually, life can get to feel very complicated when we look at it as a whole like this. And it can, I know, be a bit overwhelming. But underneath it is this very, very simple equation that Crowley wrote about, which is 0 = 2. Because 0 = +1 and -1. And it's this equation really is one of looking at the relationship between non-duality and duality. We live in a world of constant and continual opposites, multiplying opposites, often the opposites at war. Anyone who watched Trump and Zelensky and Vance will see the opposites at war very powerfully, shockingly. So this is the world that we kind of live, but it is founded on, if we find a way of being able to unite the opposites, we come into the primal no-thingness. That is the simplicity of the one point that is the point that is the center that is everywhere. And that simplicity is the root of all generation, the root of all movement. Aleister Crowley encapsulated his whole view of the tree in three statements, which is unfortunately, because of people's desire to institutionalize, has taken the pretentious religious kind of tones. And one is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Second is, love is the law, love and the will. And then the third statement is, every man and woman is a star. Now, and you, I mean, if you were the Thelemite, their greeting is, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. And then the other person says, love is the law, love and the will. Well, I have nothing against that if people want to do that, but it is a bit kind of, it is a bit like saying Heil Hitler and the other person doing Heil Hitler back, which is they're not meaning anything unpleasant but when they say that. But the trouble with that is it reifies something that actually is a formal of consciousness and a phrase of contemplation. If we look at this phrase from, I'm going to look after lunch at the whole pattern of the tree and how this kind of comes into our work and what we are seeking to do, and how, and then I'm going to look at how this applies to things like the collective imagination and how that is, so how that manifests through time, such as in things like the Mabinogion. But we have to be, in a certain sense, we have to look at one of the important things when we study the archetypes and the so anima mundi through time, is we have to understand that orientation. There's lots of ways. Archetypes are very powerful things. One of Jung's great, comments really is that you have to be very careful about not being possessed by an archetype. In the sense that your humanity becomes subsumed within an archetypal form. And, for example, because many of these archetypal myths have particular cultural histories attached to them, we can become caught up in those particular cultural histories. We can, for example, want to revive Imperial Russia. We can want to overthrow the existing order and be separated off from the world.
That's my phone.
what an excellent ringtone that is.
What does that? I thought I'd switched it off.
Very cool. Very cool. Excellent. Very good timing. Very good timing. Because in a certain sense, what you see when you look at Putin, when you look at Trump, I'm not going to politically go into that, but there are archetypal narratives behind both. Putin, in a certain sense, aligns himself actually with Peter the Great. Trump is the brash Yankee. The Yankees who chuck everything out, who throw everything out, chuck out the old world, the disruptors, the brash Americans who kind of are establishing the new order, who know they're better than everybody else, and who are all about the deal. It's remarkable.
He's the Lone Ranger, isn't he? He's the cowboy. It's the thing of the lone person who comes in and takes charge and then...
Well, it's complicated that, because the Lone Ranger is actually, he's not the Lone Ranger. The cowboy archetype is in there somewhere, but deeper than that is the new world, the new order, the new thing that's being created, that is different and better, and the shining city on the hill. But it's built upon pure individualism, the ability to, and that's why the cowboy thing does come into it later on. And the cowboy image is often a strong kind of mythical kind of figure. But come back to my point, in a sense, to the we'll can look at these things later. But when we approach these ancient myths, ancient patterns, we have to look at, well, why are we looking at them, and how are we holding them? Now, how I'm holding it here and how we're going to look at it is, as I was saying last time, when we're looking at the old mystery systems of the Greco-Roman period, we're looking at it as, in a certain sense, in the way that Proclus would say, as people who are being priests of the universe. We're taking that kind of the universality of the tree, we're taking up the old patterns and shapings and looking at how they express themselves now. Because within all of these ancient myths, even these very beautiful ancient myths, are tribal antagonisms that seek to divide us. And in one way, so one of the really crucial kind of things that as we're starting to look at, and as science has looked at quantum physics, as people like Freud and Jung and the depth psychologists start to see the universality of human nature, we have to pick up these things in that way. Now, one of the problems sometimes with some aspects of the pagan movement is people get interested, they become identified with an older identity, and therefore they split the world. Do that with the Kabbalah as well. There's not just any system, any form you can do this with. So when we look at these ancient forms, we have to bring ourselves into relationship, really, so that we are not swallowed up by them in any way. There's one of the sayings in the Gospel of Thomas, which was one of the Gnostic Gospels, and also from the Oxyrhynchus Papyrus, said, blessed is the human being who consumes the lion. Cursed is the human and becomes strong. Cursed is the human being whom the lion consumes and becomes strong. Now, the human being who consumes the lion is the person who takes the energy, the power of the archetype, and builds it within the structure of the human heart, of the human understanding. The person who is consumed by the lion and becomes strong is the person who is possessed by the archetype, and who then has the power of the archetype, but has lost the human capacity to deal with opposites, to work with ambiguity, to find kindness in the heart for difference. Now, we saw that played out, exactly that, but we saw that played out on our television screens, those of us who watched it. Because what happened was, you see, saw both Vance and, I think, both Vance and Trump consumed by their particular forms. And Zelensky was not. He pushed back, but and of course he was in a very defensive posture, of course, inside. I imagine he was scared and angry. But he was holding himself in a human shape, and speaking back calmly, carefully. He then later went on to give an interview with Fox News, of all people, which is the most right-wing news organization in the States, where he thanked the president, thanked the American people, again reiterated the truths and the message that he was trying to get across. So here is a man, really, who, if you like, has consumed the lion and become strong in that. The other men are these men who have been consumed by the lion, which is why it was so shocking to see, in some ways, you know, right in front of us, and then of course then the ripple effect of that. Now, coming back to Crowley and Crowley's idea of "do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," which is again a statement which you can deeply misinterpret. And then love is the law, love and the will. So these two principles of love and will come out of one of the interesting commonalities between ancient Greek and ancient Hebrew is their numbers, the letters are both numeral, also numerals. And in the Kabbalah, the if two words have the same number, there's said to be a very profound relationship between them.
Sorry.
Now the Greek. I love it. Ooh. God, this is like a brilliant sound effect. Making me sound much more spooky than I actually am. I like it. I like it. Very cool. Now the word for will in Greek is thelema. The word for love is agape. Now both of these words, if you add up to the numeral, come to 93. Another word that comes to 93 in Hebrew is tezabah, which means a star. And what Crowley is looking at in is the unification of love and will, and the sense of the deepest capacity of a human being as being a generative star of will and love. And one of his great images of the universe is the universe being, he called it the star sponge vision, where he experienced the universe as being an infinite series of points of view, like a great field of stars, each point of which is joined to each every other point. So each decision in any one point affects every other. It's a bit like in Hinduism, you have the image of Indra's net, which is very, very kind of similar, everything reflecting each other. So the capacity, the ability of the human being to be, well, not the ability, the essence of the human being to be the star, and the activity of the star, so do what they will. So we begin with the activity, the do. What is the material? What is going to happen? Thou, which points us right back into the sense of keter and essence. Wilt. Now that is the energy of chokmah, thy generative capacity. Do what thou wilt. So it is a sense of. So we're not talking about do what you want, or I can do anything I want. That's how you can misinterpret and misunderstand that. But what is being looked at here is that deep trajectory of our deepest nature. That is like a shining star. And this is inseparable from the idea of love. Love is the law. Love under will. Now, love is the capacity to join opposites. Will is the capacity to create opposites. So these are symmetrical energies that are about the activity of the generative star. And both are needed. If there is only love, there is only the collapse of opposites. Without will and generation, there is no newness, there is no splitting, there is no movement, there is no dynamism. So when we look at these pillars of the tree, when we look that we're bringing, we look at the necessity of opposites. And the middle pillar is the balance point of it, but there is a constant movement also up and down the tree, or in and out. We could look at it as a sense of innerness and outerness. That is about the constant activity of will and love to create and to fuse together and to open into opposites. I'm not going to do any more on that. I'll come back to this afterwards. Yeah, go on.
So love under will, which always you kind of sort of so easy to make a value judgment when it says that, is more the trajectory from Keter to Hotmar and then to Bina.
That's it.
There's no value judgment in it. It's literally the trajectory of the lightning bolt.
Yes, it is. Yeah, exactly. The manifesting light. And if we go in the other direction, right, if we place will under love, we go from the opposites that have been created, fused together in love, takes us back to the origination point of will, which takes us into the silence and the stillness of Keter. So we collapse back into the beginning.
Can
slept is a curious word. Is it a surrender?
It's the ability to, well, it involves, certainly involves surrender in that, right? But it involves the ability to hold different things together, like poles of a magnet together, to value both, and there is a surrender that then happens. So what then happens as you do that, that sense of surrender into the deeper unity beneath apparent difference. So, for example, if we were looking at what happened in the Oval Office, which is quite difficult, I would literally do that, but you look at those energies, those forces, those men in that room, and the capacity of love helps you to hold all the elements of the equation together. Right, rather than thinking, fuck them, fuck Trump, I mean, obviously those feelings are there as well. But you'd include those feelings also, right? So your own feelings around that are also part of that gestalt, part of what can be held together. And then out of that, something, if you can hold that long enough in that alchemical vessel of the heart, something, there's then that moment of surrender, which then takes you back into the simplicity of Kata, and then the manifestation of something new, a new will, a new kind of shaping emerges out of that.
For me, because I was thinking about that word collapse as well, but it was like the energy fields of the two poles. Yep. Surrender is part of will, isn't it?
Mm.
So surrender can't be the essence. The essence has to be those two individual fields collapsing in on themselves,
yeah,
to create one.
That's right.
When I could think of it in those terms.
Yeah, that's right. That's
it's
good.
Not an internal collapse, it's a collapse
separated
into form.
That's right, yeah, totally. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop there because we need to go and have our lunch, really. But and obviously.